Welcome to New World Notes. I'm Kenneth Doust. Labor Day is, or was, Monday the 7th. Labor Day originated in 1882 and became a federal holiday in 1894. Many countries have a holiday celebrating labor, though usually on May Day, May 1. Fans of Serial Mom will recall Kathleen Turner right after her acquittal on multiple charges of murder, beating juror Patty Hearst to death with a payphone handset for Hearst's offense of wearing white shoes after Labor Day. In that spirit, New World Notes offers its first annual Labor Day quirky but interesting musical special. I'll pop in from time to time to tell you what you've heard. Let's start off with David Rovics.
When I awoke one morning, there was a feeling in the air. Everything was quiet, things were different everywhere. The Wobblies were back again with Joe Hill at the mic. When all the minimum wage workers went on strike, there was no one pumping gasoline, no one driving from town to town, no one at the registers, all the highways were shut down. The cars were stuck in the garage, CEOs on bikes, when all the minimum wage workers went on strike. There was no one flipping burgers, all the grills were cold. Onion rings were in their bags, fries were growing mold. There were no baristas at Starbucks asking how many shots would you like, when all the minimum wage workers went on strike. The fruit was falling off the trees, no one to load the truck. Corn was rotting on the stalks, no farmhands to shuck. The workfare workers were hanging at home, spending the day with their tykes, when all the minimum wage workers went on strike. Yuppie parents were housebound, their nannies left the job. Walmart workers said enough of our labor has been robbed. The Foot Locker was locked up, boss had to take a hike, when all the minimum wage workers went on strike. When I awoke one morning, there was a feeling in the air. Everything was quiet, things were different everywhere. The Wobblies were back again with T-Bone at the mic, when all the minimum wage workers went on strike.
Big house early once a week. Turn off the alarm and take my gear inside and see how you destroy your home in such a short time. cat box in the shower stall. What do I make of that? I almost lost my breakfast looking at that shower floor. And I know what your teenage son hides in his bathroom drawer. Look at your house, missus. When did you use all these dishes? Drop everything, let me pick up the pieces. It doesn't matter when you live so fine. Don't ask who is gonna pick up mine. Growing up, I wasn't very good in school. I didn't have no friends, and my teachers all were fools. When I told my folks that I was gonna have my kid, they said, Katie, don't come back, and Katie never did. I know where your trash bags are, I know what's in your trash. I know what you eat at night and where you keep your stash. Dust and bugs and bones and hair and cereal and sand. I'm hard-pressed to make a guess, are you animal or man? Look at your house, missus. When did you use all these dishes? Drop everything and let me pick up the pieces. It doesn't matter when you live so fine. Don't ask who is gonna pick up mine. I've never seen your face. I'm just the cleaning girl who leaves without a trace. But I know all your kids from the pictures on your says if I don't eat, he'll kick my ass for luck. But it's hard to cook a meal when you're living in a truck. Now he's bought a motorbike with the savings we had. If I have to, I can raise my boy without his dad. The loser's at his mother's and my son is there too. Just till I save some money folks like you. Look at your house, missus. When did you use all these dishes? Drop everything, let me pick up the pieces. It doesn't matter when you live so fine. Don't ask who is gonna pick up mine.
We heard David Rovick's The Day the Minimum Wage Workers Went on Strike, a reminder of how much we depend on workers too many of us either look down on or else ignore, followed by a soliloquy by one such worker, a house cleaner. The song was Katie, sung by Mad Agnes. However, the work that many Americans do involves no physical labor beyond sitting through long meetings without squirming, making PowerPoint presentations, talking on the phone, and writing excruciatingly boring reports in excruciatingly awful English. Ironically, many of these jobs pay more than you get paid for actually making something. Well, the foreman said these things better than I'm saying them in their comic, ironic work song. Take the tune from a chain gang and lyrics from some graduate school of management, and you get working on an MBA.
Working. Working. Working, 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 working. Sun
comes up another day in the mine. You're up at 7:30 and in class by 9. You're pushing them papers, you're dragging that pen. You study or you party till God only knows when. You go to bed, get up and do it over again. Working on an MBA. Work all day, work all night. Work all the next day and that night too. Work.
Graduate with honors and start making the big money.
Well, the econ professor is a pompous old ass. And you better be good at puckering if you're hoping to pass. You're taking them hard knocks, you're paying them dues. Don't get no Christmas bonus, you don't share no revenues. Oh Lord, here comes another arrogant asshole to schmooze. Working on an MBA. Work all day, work all night, work all the next day and that night too. Work.
Plunge into an orgy of material acquisition.
Oh Lordy, it's a long, hard journey. You're getting shin splints, tennis elbow and a herniated disc. You may be wheeled to graduation on a gurney.
But you'll be proud to say, hey world,
I'm not an attorney, I'm an MBA, I'm an MBA, I'm an MBA.
Well, you hang around with a lot of supercilious folks, and you don't know which is staler, is it the donuts or the jokes?
Gotta finish that spreadsheet, gotta click in that leak. You're so uptight you haven't taken a leak in a week. And the only part of you that gets any sleep is your left butt cheek. Working on an MBA. Work all day, work all night. Work all the next day and that night too. Work.
Graduate with honors and start making the big money. Plunge into an orgy of material acquisition. Ascend the corporate ladder unless you're Hispanic, black, or a woman.
Working on an MBA.
We have time for three more songs. I'll pop in again after the second. We'll start with the late Utah Phillips, speaking with complete candor and utter honesty, without a hint of exaggeration, about the worst job he ever had.
Went down and got a job with the rural electrification in the Navajo Indian Reservation. Running electric power lines into all the Navajo outhouses. Was one of the first people to wire ahead for a reservation. Finally, I'll tell you about the worst job I ever had in my life. Worst job I ever had in my life was working for the Santa Fe? Yeah, it was the Santa Fe Railroad, south of Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, that's the old Mormon Muddy Mission, you see. It's way out in what the Navajos call the boonies, you know, out in the desert. Now, the job was Gandhi dancing. Now, Gandhi dancing used to be in the old days, Gandhi dancing was when the Irish were building the railroad. Of course, the first transcontinental railroad was built by Irish laborers. And they used these long-handled shovels called Irish banjos that were made by the Gandhi Shovel Company of Chicago. Now, the Irish laborer would take the wide end of the shovel when he could find it, and he would jam it in under a rail or a tie, and he would climb out on the long handle, do a little jig step out there, and that would lever the tie up or the rail up, and you push gravel in underneath it and tamp it down, and that levels the roadbed. See, that's what Gandhi dancing is. Leveling the roadbed so the damn train doesn't fall off as it goes by, which is just a big drag for everybody. Now, they don't do Gandhi dancing the normal way anymore, see, like they did in the old days. Nowadays, they run three cars out on the line. They run a box car out there that's a bunk car. You sleep in it. Got bunks in there 18 inches apart. And then you got a tool car with your tamping irons and your tongs and your double jack hammers and spikes and all of that equipment, see, to do the job. And then you got a cook car. I mean, there's no restaurants anyplace around, so you got a cook car. Pots and pans and a coal or wood-burning stove and a long table down the middle to eat at. Only thing they don't hire is a cook. That's because they're cheap. Saves them money. Rule is that in that crew, they're supposed to pick among their own members who's going to be the cook. Now, they don't try to do it sensibly, like draw lots or decide who the best cook is. What they do is they wait and find out who bitches and whines and pisses and moans the most about the cooking. And they say, all right, wise guy, you think you can do better, you get to be the cook. Well, that was me, see? Old alligator mouth. The new man on the crew, and that was the worst food I'd ever had. I mean, it was dog bottom pie and pheasant sweat and otter water. Comes out of an otter. It's a terrible, terrible stuff. Some people might think it's a delicacy, but I thought it was garp. So I complained, and they said, all right, wise guy, you get to be the cook. That made me mad, because I didn't want to cook. But I knew if anybody complained about my cooking, that they were going to have to cook. Armed with that knowledge, I sallied forth over the muddy river. I was walking around among the cheat grass and bunch grass there, and I looked down, and there was just a hell of a big moose turd. Biggest damn moose turd, that was a real steamer, damn. I looked down at that meadow wafer, and I said to myself, self, I'm gonna bake up a big moose turd pie. Because if anybody complains about my cooking, they're gonna have to cook. So I tipped that pasture pastry up on edge. I got my shit together, so to speak. And I started rolling it down toward the old cook car. Bloom, bloom. I got it down there and leaned it up against the side, and I climbed up in the cook car and I baked up a hell of a big pie shell. And I baked that moose turd in it as slick as you please. And I crimped the edges with my thumbs and laid strips of dough across it and garnished it with a sprig of parsley, a little paprika. It was beautiful. Poetry on a plate. And I served it for dessert, waiting for the first hint of a complaint. Well, this giant dude come in, about 5'40". I mean, he was big. Throwed himself down like a fool on the stool. Picked up his fork. Took a big bite of that moose turd pie. Well, he threw down his fork and he let out a beller and he yelled, my God, that's moose turd pie. It's good though.
Business news. Circuit City fired 3,400 employees in stores across the country yesterday, saying they were making too much money and would be replaced by new hires willing to work for less. The company said the dismissals had nothing to do with performance, but were part of a larger effort to improve the bottom line.
Why don't you work like other folks do? How the hell can I work when there's no work to do? Hallelujah, get a job. Hallelujah, work again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to survive until then. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again.
Ohio lost more than 209,000 non-farm jobs in the last 7 years. This is the largest decline in employment since the end of the Great Depression.
And why don't you save all the money you earn? If I just did not eat, I'd have money to burn. Hallelujah, feed my kids.
Hallelujah, broke again. Hallelujah, give us a handout just to last until then.
$11.7 billion had the minimum wage risen as fast as CEO compensation since 1990, it would now be at over $23 an hour. And the average production worker, now making just over $27,000, would be making $110,000 a year.
Oh, I love my boss. He's a good friend of mine. That's why I am starving out on this bread line. Hallelujah, get a job. Hallelujah, laid off again. Hallelujah, won't see a paycheck until God knows when. Hallelujah, I'm a bum.
Morgan Stanley on Friday said chief executive John Mack received compensation valued at about $1.5 million in fiscal 2007, a year when the investment bank's profits plunged 57%.
Now if ever I'm paid all the money I earn, my boss would go broke, and to work he must turn. Hallelujah, come the day, hallelujah, bum no more. In the meantime, give us a handout to revive and restore. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. Hallelujah, bum again. In the meantime, give us a handout to revive us. In the meantime, give us a handout to revive us. Again.
Good night, good luck, and good night.
Depressions didn't begin in 1930. They've alternated with periods of prosperity ever since the 19th century. Hallelujah, I'm a Bum was first sung in the 1890s, more than 110 years ago. Alas, the song is still relevant, as you can hear from the business news on TV that fades in and out. That's Ann Feeney with a beautiful rendition of Hallelujah, I'm a Bum, a lovely homage to Simon and Garfunkel's hit of 1965, Silent Night, 6 o'clock news. Anne's song is titled Business News / Hallelujah, I'm a Bum. The last song is nominally about baseball. Personally, baseball does nothing for me, but I like the song because it shows so clearly many of the admirable aspects of working-class values. You wouldn't know it from watching TV, but the values of this class typically include a strong sense of duty, of social obligation, pride in craftsmanship, willingness to work hard, and perseverance through adversity. And believe me, the working class has more adversity than the ruling classes do. It came to pass that in 1995, Cal Ripken Jr., who played for the Baltimore Orioles, broke baseball's record for the number of consecutive games played, a record previously held by Lou Gehrig. This meant nothing to me at the time. I first learned about it just a few months ago when my house's 11-year-old baseball expert patiently explained things to me. But I love the song. The Orioles staged a big ceremony at the time, and Ripken said what any union carpenter or iron worker or laborer would have said if you praised his contribution to building Hartford's beautiful Charter Oak Bridge.
It was one for the ages, one you just had to see. So I sat on the sofa with two kids and nine. We watched on TV, and it was in the fifth inning. The game had to be stopped. The whole ballpark went nuts when the number was dropped. My kids, they clapped and they hollered. Me, I choked up with tears, thinking back on the greats he brought to that place for over 13 years. And as he stood in the spotlight, he looked so awkward and shy. And when they asked him to say a few words on that day, this was his reply. I'm only doing my job, like folks everywhere. Where I come from, it's just how things are done, doing your share. I did not love every part, but still I'm not thinking hard. Give it my best, to hell with the rest, doing my job. She gets up every morning, she gets the kids out the door. And then it's carpool and shop, it's vacuum and mop until they're back home at four. And then it's supper and homework until they're all tucked away. Then it's a kiss and goodnight, it's turn out the light for the 4,000th day. She's only doing her job, like folks everywhere. Where she comes from, it's just how things are done, doing her share. She does not love every part, still she's not thinking on to give it her best, to hell with the rest, doing her job. We deliver the mail, and we grow all the crops. We teach in the schools, we put out the fires, and we clerk in the shops. And we enter the data, we build the bridges and roads. We show up every day, we work for our pay, we carry the loads. We're only doing our jobs, like folks everywhere. Where we come from is just how things are done, doing our share. We do not love every part, but still will not think it odd to give it our best, to hell with the rest, doing our job. We're only doing our jobs, we are folks everywhere. Where we come from is just how things are done, doing our share. We do not love every part, still will not think it odd to give it our best, to hell with the rest, doing our job. Give it our best, to hell with the rest, doing our job.
New World Notes is produced in the spacious underground studios of WWUH-FM, a community service of the University of Hartford. For more information about the show, photos, great links, and my email address, check our webpage, http://newworldnotes.blogspot.com. From Darkest New England, this is Kenneth Doust, wishing you a happy Labor Day and advising workers of all countries arise. You have nothing to lose but your chains and maybe a worthless 401k. Ciao.